Up, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. How many of you know the Lord's coming back?
Amen.
Say, He's coming back for me.
Amen.
Praise God. I want to say thank you to all of our fathers here today. What a blessing you all are. I tell you, we love our dads. They're a blessing to us, aren't they?
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to talk to you a little bit about our Father in heaven. And I want to talk to you a little bit about fathers here on the earth. You know, fathers are so important in our lives. They're so important to the creation of us, which a lot of fathers like that. Can you say amen? But there's also important to the development of our lives. Our fathers are so important to the development of our lives. And we're thankful for our fathers. But you know, there's such a difference between a father and an instructor. You know, this word here, look here what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And Father, we thank you for your word today. We approach it with reverence and thanksgiving. Lord, we approach it thanking you that you open the eyes of our understanding, that you give us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Look here what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Now, that word there, instructor, just simply means a boy leader. Somebody that will lead you to church or lead you to the things of God. But then there's a couple of other words here we want to look at. There's a word begotten, which means to help grow, to cause to be. And then there's a word that's a father there that means to be a parent, one that will bear you up, one that will bear your reproach, that will bear things in your life that will give you an opportunity to grow up. You know, there's a lot of people that will instruct you. There's a lot of people that'll tell you what to do. There's a lot of people that you can go online, you can get CDs, you can just hear any kind of teaching anywhere, anytime, any day, any minute, any hour that you want to hear. But you know, there's a big difference between someone that will teach you and someone that will bear you up. Can you see the difference in that? And you want to understand that God has called as a father. See, God is a father. While I'm talking, turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. God is a father. And you have to understand, He is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, but He is also our Father. Now, I'm going to say something here that I want you to get a hold of. I don't want you to take offense at, because people do this all the time, but it's just, to me, it's a thing that they need to grow up in. It's not a life or death situation, you know. And you know, with when you're talking about eternity, sometimes you are talking about life or death situations. Can you say amen? You know, I mean, you don't have to go very far, folks. I'm telling you, this is all around. And I'm just encouraging you as your pastor. I'm just encouraging you in this right now. Don't get involved in these people that are teaching you that there's no consequences to life and there's no hell. And, you know, there's people that are saying there's no hell, there's two basic doctrines that are really prominent now. And one of them is that there's no hell, that everybody's saved and everybody's going to heaven. And then there's another one that says that people will go to hell, but it's like purgatory. You know, they'll just be there for a while till they get purged and then they'll get out. Well, and that ultimately what they're saying is that's ultimate reconciliation, you know, where ultimately the devil, all the angels that fell and every lost person will be out. But, you know, that's not what Jesus taught. That's not what Jesus taught. You know, He taught, you know, that there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth for eternity. So what I'm saying in that is we need to take the issue of eternity seriously. Would you say amen to that? And sometimes it gets very sobering. Sometimes it, you know, you sober up in life because we're out in the world and all the cares of life with family and raising kids and you dads, you know what I mean, trying to make ends meet and have enough where you maybe could do something with your family or for vacation, and then you're trying to save for retirement and keep them a roof over their head and food in their mouth. And man, the cares of life can come in and we get so busy with the cares of life that we're really not thinking about the soberness of this eternal life that we're talking about. The eternal life where, listen to me, a father, everybody say a father, will bear you up in. You know, a father is someone that will bear you up. A father is someone that, you know, will take responsibility for you in ways that maybe you're not able to do at a certain time. But the goal of the father is to get everybody to where they can take that responsibility. You know, sometimes my dad would wear me out to take responsibility. But then sometimes my dad would hug me to get me to take responsibility. You know what? Y'all understand what I'm saying? There's different ways of doing that. And if we just, what I'm trying to say here is, if we just think that God is our father in this life, it's just some sort of, I don't know, it bothers me because some people think it's just some sort of, he's some sort of gooey, ooey mass of just love. You know, he's just a ooey, gooey love. And there's a truth to that. But you know, he's also serious about us receiving him as our father and us walking this life out on the earth. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now, look here what he said in Ephesians. Did you find Ephesians chapter 3? Look at verse 14. Ephesians 3:14. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family," everybody say the whole family, "in heaven and earth is named." Now, this is so important. I want you to see this. You've got to see this. See, he is not just the father of the people that are in heaven. He's the father of the people that are in heaven and that are on the earth. Okay, are you with me now? Now, see, if we'll take that thought as far as God wants us to take it, you'll have to realize that when someone dies and someone goes to heaven and they depart this earth, we've got to get over seeing that as a loss. When Paul said to depart and be with Christ is gain, it's far better. Now, of course, we want everybody on this earth to live out their life the full length of life. I mean, that's the will of God. I'm convinced that's our will. We want that. But see, we want to be able to recognize that Father, our Father God, is not just the Father here on earth. My prayer is that he will open our eyes and let us all catch a glimpse of eternity. Let us all catch a glimpse of how good he is, not just here on this earth, but folks, he's got it planned out for us. He is on our side when it comes to the plan of eternity. And if you look at this, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees," that's 14, "unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Now, the way we become a part of this family, now listen to me, you've got to be born into this family. Just like my children, they were born unto me and Beth. Say amen, somebody. Because, you know, just like Vinoy said in that word there, there are some people that are just sliding away from the new birth. They're just sliding away from the fact that you have to receive Jesus to be born again. They're just sliding away from the fact, well, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave. But no, what did he give? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him. Are you with me now? You understand what I'm saying here? Romans chapter 8 in the Amplified Bible. Let me read this to you, verse 29. You don't have to turn there, but let me read it to you. "For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning," or foreordaining them, "to be molded into the image of his Son and share inwardly his likeness," listen to this now, "that he might become," in other words, that Jesus might become the firstborn among many brethren. See, you have to understand something. These people that teach and say, well, you know, there's just no hell. No, there's no hell, and God loves everybody, and he's going to go to heaven. Everybody's going to go to heaven. Well, now, see, that just does not bear witness with the scriptures at all. It just does not bear witness with the word of all. Because, see, when you study the word of God, one thing you'll find out is, in Ephesians 4, it says that Jesus, he fulfilled or filled all things. Everybody say all things. Now, what that means is, the scripture says, he that ascended up into the heavens, he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And if you follow that scriptural reference all the way through, it says, you go over to the book of Revelation, it says that Jesus went to hell and he gained the keys of death, hell, and the grave. So now listen, people that say that there's no hell, I've just got one question. Where did Jesus go? Amen. See, the reason Jesus went there is so that he could fill all things that we couldn't. Listen, and then we could receive him. He was the firstborn from the dead. He was the firstborn from the grave. He was the firstborn among many brethren. If he was the firstborn, listen, your number's in there somewhere. My number's in there somewhere. If he's the first, there's a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth. And I mean, hopefully it'll go up to 6 billion people before it's all over with. Y'all see what I'm saying? He's the firstborn among many brethren. If there's no hell, what did he have to be born from? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Thank God. Now listen, any good father, and this is Father's Day. I normally don't do a Father's Day message, but I just felt inspired to do one today. To talk about fathers, all right? Talk about our father. See, any good father is going to provide for his family. To the best of his ability. Amen. It doesn't mean we don't need to get into comparing one family versus another, because if you get into comparing one family versus another, Paul, he wrote over there to the church at Corinth, he said, it's not wise to compare yourselves among yourselves. It's not wise to do that. You know why? Because when Beth and I got married, 1 Peter chapter 3 says that we are heirs together of the grace of life. You know, there's a grace that goes into manifestation when a couple gets married that, listen to me, another couple may not have that same grace. You know, not every couple has the grace to be a pastor. But you know what? Not every couple has the grace to run a business either. You see, we got to quit comparing ourselves among ourselves and recognize each one of us have individual gifts and callings from God. We were born originals. We don't need to die a copy. I think I'm going to say that back here around Tim. Amen. Amen. We were born originals. We don't need to die a copy. We don't need to be ashamed of who we are. Amen. Amen. We need to be excited about who we are, thrilled about who we are, and let God begin to develop in us that gift that he's put on the inside of us. Because see, if I'm always trying to be somebody else, I can never let my Father bear me up enough to be who he's called me to be. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, one of the things I want you to see, and I want you to get a hold of this. You are born into the family of God. Amen. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Now, when you are born into the family of God, I want you to see this scripture here in Luke. I meditated on this scripture. I know I had to think about and meditate on this scripture for not every moment, but probably for 6 months. Because I never could figure out what the Spirit of the Lord was saying in this Luke 11 scripture. You don't have to turn there, but let me read it to you. It says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? See, God wants us to change the paradigm we have about God. See, here's, everybody say, born into. Born into. Now, if you are born into the Spirit of God, into the family of God, just like if Beth and I have 3 children, they are born into our family. Now, do you, see, we've got to get a hold of this. If we are born into the family of God and His Spirit recreates us, listen, don't ever buy into the fact that you lack. Don't ever buy into that. The most unbelieved scripture in the Bible is Colossians 2:8, that we are complete in Him. People don't believe that. We're complete in Jesus. We lack nothing. Everybody say, I'm complete. Now, see, what I want you to see here, I couldn't figure this out. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, who would give him a stone? Now, Jeff and Linda's got some beautiful children here. I don't believe for one, Jacob said, hallelujah. I don't believe for 1 minute if Jacob came to Jeff and Linda and said, Mom, Dad, I'm hungry, I need some bread. Do you think Jeff and Linda would throw him out a stone? I don't think they would. They might grab him by the ear and say, "What are you? Ain't you got a job, boy? You working?" You know. But I don't think Jeff and Lynn, I think they'd try to give Jacob as much bread as they had to give him if he was hungry. So see, I'm reading this and I'm meditating on the scripture, and I can't. It's like it just won't come together. Well, you know what? Yesterday, I was preparing for this message, and the Lord gave me this. I'm telling you, I am so thankful. It is such a good revelation. And so, if a son asks a bread, would a father give him a stone? Or it says, if he asks an egg, would he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? It's like, what are you trying to say here, God? It's like, I took this and I looked all these Greek words up for serpent and stone and egg and scorpion. And I was just trying to figure out, what is the Holy Ghost saying here to me about this scripture? And you know what the Holy Ghost is saying to me about this scripture? When you receive Jesus and you're born again, listen, God is not going to substitute nothing for you. No substitutes for you. There's going to be no substitutes when it comes to our Heavenly Father. He's not substituting anything but His goodness for you. That's all He's doing. He is going to get His goodness to us. I'm telling you, there's going to be no substitutes for His goodness. None. No substitute. And see, one of the things that we try to do in the flesh is we're trying to substitute because of a sense of not being born into the family. We are born, glory to God. Think about it, Mike, if you were born into Sam Walton's family.
Amen.
But you know what? Sam Walton don't hold a candle to God.
Amen.
He don't hold a candle to the life of God. The Word says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. There's going to be no substitute for what He wants to give us. I tell you, we got a good Father. I mean, He's good. There's no substitute. There's no spirit of lack. There's no spirit that you just don't measure up. There's no spirit that you're just not quite good enough. There's no spirit that, you know, compared to so-and-so, No, we're not even going there. We're not comparing ourselves to other people. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, it's not wise for you to do that. We are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because as we keep our eyes on Jesus, there's no substitute. I tell you, He is a good Father. I thought, you know, I would take the word Father, and I just, in my closing minutes here, I did a little acronym. You know what an acronym is? Where you take a word and you do letters, but for the letter F, He is friendly and faithful. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was a friend to sinners. Hallelujah. And I love it. I kind of caught a glimpse of this yesterday. I'd heard other speakers say it. But I caught a glimpse of it for myself yesterday. It says, He was a friend to sinners and tax collectors. What a good Father we have. What a good God we have. He's friendly and faithful. For A, He's available. He will never leave you. Everybody say, He'll never leave me. Now, let me read something to you here out of the Amplified Bible. I want to read this to you because you got to get a hold of this. You want to get this. This will ring in your ears. When nothing else will do, this will bless you here. Look at this. Let me find it here. Because to me, this is such a good reference in regard to our Father. I just got this right before church, so give me just a second here to... Yeah, here it is. Listen to this now. Let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, greed, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. Can you say amen?
Amen.
See, what's he saying there? Don't let a sense of lack come to you. Why? Why would you let a sense of lack come to you when your Father is not going to substitute any good thing for you? Okay, you with me? What's he saying? If you ask your father stone, he's not going. If you ask your father bread, he's not going to give you stone. There's no. Our Father is good. Can you say amen? Now notice here what he says. He says, "For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not." He said, I will not, I will not, I will not. So for any person to have an attitude of lack in regard to God, or that he's not a present father, he's a very present help in time of need. He's a present father. He's a good father. Our God is not a deadbeat dad. He's a good father. He's always available. He'll never leave you. T, he's fixed this covenant so that it's tamper-proof. How many of y'all were around or alive back in the late 70s, early 80s when they went to, somebody put strychnine in Tylenol? Y'all remember? Yep. Hold your hand if you're old enough to remember that. Yeah. A few of y'all old enough to remember that. Some of you young ones may not remember, but years ago back in Chicago, I think it was, somebody put strychnine into Tylenol bottles. At that time, you could go to the drugstore and open up a Tylenol bottle and you could just pour you a few out in your pocket and walk out. Yeah. You wouldn't do that, would you, Matt? No. But y'all remember those days when you could go in and those bottles would just be open? But see, what did they have to do? They had to make those bottles tamper-proof. Well, let me tell you something. God has made this covenant tamper-proof. Galatians said it's a covenant that was cut between Father God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and no man can disannul or add to it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. See, Father fixed this covenant so that it's tamper-proof. It's tamper-proof. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says he sealed this covenant in the blood of Jesus. He sealed this covenant by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, we got a good Father. He's fixed this thing right for us. I'm telling you, he's fixed it right. Glory to God. H stands for he's heavenly minded. You know, we've got to remember that when someone goes to heaven, it's not a loss. We've got to remember that our Father has already taken care of the fact that people are going to pass away. People are going to go on to be with the Lord. And the E, he is expectant of good. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, our Father, he is the author of good and perfect gifts. He's the Father of lights. You see, God is not expecting bad from you. You know why? Because he's in you. He's not expecting bad from us. He's expecting good for us and from us. And R is right. How many know that God is always right? His ways are always right. Sometimes it takes us a few years to figure that out. Has anybody in here ever figured that out? You know, where you just keep, it's like Balaam and the donkey. You remember the story about Balaam and the donkey? See, one reason I want y'all to read your Bibles is so I don't have to go into all the detail and take you to book, chapter, and verse, that you'll know something about these stories. But in Balaam and the donkey, the Bible says that the donkey talked. That was before Mr. Ed ever came on the scene. It said that the donkey talked. Well, the Bible says a little bit different than that. It actually says that the dumb ass spoke. It does. It says that the dumb ass spoke, forbading the madness of the prophet. Amen. I've had a few speak to me too. Well, that's what the word says. No, really, when you think about that donkey talking, see, Balaam He was determined he was going to curse what God had blessed. And the angel of the Lord, see, they were going between an area where there was like two walls together. And that donkey kept running Balaam up against the wall and hurting his foot. And so Balaam got off and started beating the donkey. And the donkey said, "Hey, if you could see what I could see, you wouldn't be beating me." Because there was an angel up ahead fixing to take Balaam's head off. Amen. And then God opened Balaam's eyes and he saw it. And the angel spoke to Balaam and said, "You know, you can't curse what God has blessed." See, our Father is always right. He's always right. His way is the right way. His way is the good way. His way is the life way. His way. Listen, all you younger ones, all you that look young. Some of y'all look young, but all you younger ones, some of us older ones can save you a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache. Just do it God's way to start with. Ain't that right? Somebody say amen. Just do it God's way to start with. Save yourself some heartache, grief, pain, sorrow, and misery. Just do it God's way to start with. And listen, it's not Him that's adding all that grief and sorrow and misery when you don't do it His way. The very circumstances themselves will create that. They'll create that. Why? Because the Scripture says the wages of sin is death. Amen. He's friendly and faithful. He's available. He'll never leave you. He's tamper-proof the covenant. He's heavenly-minded. He's always expectant of good. And He's right always for you. Can you say amen? Bow your heads with me, please.